So yeah, welcome everyone. Lots of folks traveling today, and it's been a good summer so far. Wouldn't you say? I mean, we had a little bit of a hot spell, and apparently the whole nation's suffering. But that thunderstorm yesterday is what saved us, isn't it? Rolled through, and it went from like, what was it, 85 on in my truck to like 68. And I was like, go! I did so much better. So baptisms last week. That was a good time. Thanks for everybody who helped out with that. Special stuff. That was a milestone for us as a church, in my opinion. I thought that was a lot of fun. So we're going to switch things up a bit today, guys. We're going to go. All right, I'll just give it to you straight. Summertime is the time when you sometimes get together with families, right? And you connect with people, right? You don't see them in the fall and the winter time, but sometimes you have barbecues and stuff like this. Well, this is not a reactive message. I promise you, I don't do that. Because actually, I had an idea I was going to talk about this by Tuesday or Wednesday. But then I actually hung out with my family a little bit on Thursday, Friday. And it was like, oh, I see. I understand. Because what we're going to talk about is really simply, I guess, choices we make and how we interact with people, okay? We'll start there. I don't want to jump into the deep end. So let's just do it, because this might go a little long. Can we look at my first slide here? When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. Now, this is our main theme of the day. So what you're looking at is the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians. You think it's a simple statement, but it's really not. He breaks it up for a reason. He says, talked, thought, reasoned, lumps them all together and says, put childish ways behind me. I'll say it like this, and this is how I say it. If anybody ever asks you about your faith, I say it like this. There's two choices in this world. Your life as it is. Goods, bads, ups and downs, just the life you are born into. That's choice number one that most people just kind of go with. Choice number two is that very same life leaned against Jesus Christ piece by piece. His strength, his guidance, and his promises for eternity. And that's the thing. Like, don't get it messed up. It's a day-to-day growing process of putting away childish things. So when you're in here and someone who follows Christ has hurt you and you say, what are you doing? What are you doing? That's like looking at a 12-year-old and holding him accountable to pay his taxes and, you know what I'm trying to say, and hold together a marriage. You don't know where that person's at in their journey. So shake it off. Is that good? That's good, isn't it? We do. You write off Jesus because one of his kids who are growing isn't quite there yet. And I got news for you. He keeps it going until the day of Christ Jesus, it says in the Bible. You're not done. He's not done. I'm not done. And I might have conquered my anger, but maybe I didn't conquer my jealousy yet. Right? Maybe I'm still real cheap and greedy, which Jesus talks more about than any of the sins you see on your Facebook, by the way. I should teach about that. Everybody's got all these hot button issues, but Jesus talks more about greed in the Bible exponentially. Exponentially means times, times, times. Hold me to it. Go do a Bible study. Anybody's wanting to talk about this, this, and this? He talks about greed many times over, more than those sins. Anyway, so Gordon might be here in his, right, in his journey, and I might be here in my journey. It's a journey of putting away childish things. If you're walking with Christ Jesus, you're going to get hurt, and you're going to hurt other people. But what we're going to do is we're going to learn a way practically. We're practically going to look at how we put away the childish things and start to grow. Because here's what has to do with family. I give God glory in the fact that, like, I can look at certain family members in my life that are just making different choices and that do things differently maybe in their families. And I used to go, ugh, bad. And now I go, different. Amen? Right? Right? Like, we parent differently. And I'm going to leave it there. You know what I mean? And in my heart, instead of getting in that negative place I used to get into and rah, 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 and then I don't want to talk to them anymore, then it's Christmas the next time I talk. You know what I'm trying to say? Instead, I just go, we're just making different choices. So I have a question for you, though. This is a thought. It's already derailed, this whole thing. Some of these choices I was noticing and some of the issues, let's say, I was having hypothetically with some family members. Get with me today, guys. I'm going to try. Oftentimes in life, you'll look at someone and you'll say, well, why do they do things that way? Or why can't they this, that, this, and that? And I've told you before, they could turn to look to you and go, I've never seen anything else. You look at a hot-tempered man and you say, why are you still hot-tempered? And he'll go, there's another option? Daddy was hot-tempered? Grandpa was hot-tempered? Show me something different. Right? That's the process right here. We're starting to do, you show different things. You grow up and become, right, in Christ. Anybody understand that? That set me free, guys. Because I got to the point where I was going to break relationships with some of my family members, and then I realized they don't know any better. You know? Got to give people some grace. So we're going to look at this stuff, and you know what I'm going to do today? What I really feel God is saying is, let's talk about some better ways. Maybe somebody will hear some for the first time. Let's look through the Bible and see what it is to put away childish things. And we're mostly going to hang out on Talk Like a Child today. Okay, so it's probably going to get hot in here today, but here's the thing. This is not a message coming at people. This is just teaching new stuff. This is going through the Word. And I don't oppose people, and neither does God. But we do oppose mindsets that hold you back and break relationship. Can we look at Romans 8:29? This is just a reminder as we're walking into this. Oh, it's right under that one, right? Oh, no, okay. I didn't put it in. I'm sorry, because I didn't save it. It says, for those he foreknew, us, he predestined us to be conformed to the image of his son, that Jesus may be the firstborn among many brothers. Your destiny is to be conformed to the image of Jesus. You're to grow up and learn to be like Jesus. Again, lifelong journey. Some people in here too are all upset because you're still struggling with things. And guess what? It's a journey. Don't quit. Just don't stop. Well, I still tend to do this, or I'm still addicted here. Keep walking. Just keep going. That's what he's saying. You'll be conformed to the image of Christ Jesus. Chill out and just keep walking. Certainly don't give up. Predestined to be conformed to the likeness. So I talked as a child. Let's go back to the Corinthians slide. Let's be honest. I've said this before, but here in the North Country, we've got lots of guys walking around, and men particularly, big bodies, hair on their faces, big boy jobs, but they're just kids in a lot of ways in their behavior. And it does. It happens all the time. I'm in the perfect seated window position. I'm 36 years old. I'm seated perfectly to see up to like 55 and down to 15. And I'm seeing like, Where are the men? Where are the, especially the Christian men who provide and protect, who grow and who sacrifice themselves and who stick around and raise their families, that kind of thing. You know what I'm saying? But you got a lot of guys driving around in really big toys, big trucks, big boy jobs, but they never became men in areas of their lives. To defend them, like I said before, a lot of us don't have any idea how to be a man in the area of our finances, as a husband, as a dad, whatever it is. We have no idea. Some of us didn't have dads that were around, or even if they did, if the dads were around, we don't want to emulate the way dad did things. That's what I hear all the time. It haunts me, guys, here in the North Country. I don't want to do what dad did, but what do I do? Like, he yelled, but I don't want to do that, but what do I do? You know what I'm trying to say? We want better. And Jesus said, I came that you would have life and life to the fullest. But that takes work. That takes a lot of work, y'all. So we're going to dig in here. We're going to talk about talking as a child. This one's going to come in a little hot, but I want you to, let's just look at Matthew 15:18 here. People just said to him, hey, you're drinking wine and washing your hands and stuff like this. And he goes, oh, wait, the stuff that goes in you doesn't defile you, but the things that come out of the mouth defile you, because they come from your heart. And these things, those are the things that make a man unclean. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. Do I have another 20? Matthew 15:20? Okay. For out of the mouth come from the heart. The things that come out of the mouth come from the heart. So when we're talking about talk as a child, I'm not pulling off the gas today, okay, guys? Just hang with me. What I'm saying is I'm not going to soften it. What you say reflects how you feel, okay? You can be deceived and deranged, don't get me wrong, but the things you say, listen to them once in a while. Because what Jesus just taught us, the guy who built human beings, just taught us is what you say reveals the stuff that comes out of your heart. Those things are what make a man come unclean. But eating with unwashed hands does not make him unclean. So the things you say reflect your heart. So there's a little song. Some of you might know this. Be careful, little mouth, what you say, right? Be careful, little mouth, what you say. Father up above, he is looking down in love. Oh, be careful, little mouth, what you say. It sounds a little foreboding, but let's be honest. Let's go back one slide if we can. Out of your heart come things out of mouth. So it's probably a good idea to listen to what you say and be careful what you say. And so we really got to own this, you guys. When we're becoming a man, becoming a woman in Christ Jesus, this is important. Let's do the next one. I'm sorry. I didn't mean that. It says don't let any unwholesome talk, right? Yes. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. So now we're getting to this. Some of us have this idea that God is up in heaven, that he's not good father, but that he's creator king alone. And he's just saying, don't, don't, don't. That's not the God we serve, you guys. He's actually saying, there's one way of doing things, not watching what you say, just going with the flow and letting garbage come out of your mouth. Or you can do this. You can use your mouth to say what's helpful for building others up according to what they need. You can, in other words, you can leave the world better than you found it, or you can just go with the flow and keep spewing garbage. Amen, anybody? Are we following me? How many people walk up to you and compliment you? They'll cut you off in traffic and you might get a specific finger, but how many people lift you up? Right? That's the way of the world. He's saying you've got a choice, guys, because what comes out of your mouth reveals your heart. But you can clamp this one. Let's say you got a hot and cold. I got a hot and cold for my washer, right? Clamp this one, open that one wide up. God is not just saying don't. He's saying you can actually help other people. You can be a force for the light, for good, you guys. When I was a child, I talk like a child. You know what children do? Whatever they want. They say whatever they want. They scream, they yell, they cut you down. They say things like, I hate you, Daddy, when it's obviously not true. He hasn't done that yet, but I'm waiting. Everybody gets it, I think. But we have a different choice. We can grow up in Christ Jesus and we can say, hey, I'm actually going to control what I say. Because what I say reveals what's in my heart. So I want to flip it for a second. This is 2016. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your phone or your Facebook or your email account either. Right? That's just what's going on. Because people say sticks and stones may break my bones, words will never hurt me. Oh, that's a load of garbage, you guys. Words, I mean, he says the tongue is the power of life and death. Death is in your tongue. Don't just focus on the life part. So what we're saying is very important, and what we're putting out there as well. You know what I'm saying? Social media, texting. Don't let any unwholesome talk come out of those mediums as well. We're to build others up, right? Build others up. That's choice number two. Let's do Proverbs 18:21. We're Bible heavy today, guys, because we should be. This is where we learn. The tongue is the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat of its fruit. You know what? And I just, for the first time, I'm really seeing you got life and you've got death in the things you say, in the things you choose to say. Now, I said this before a few weeks ago. The only one who could actually make a statement like this is the one who created the tongue. And God spoke through, you know, in the Holy Spirit. He spoke and wrote Proverbs and says, I gave your tongue the power of life and death. So I won't go off on this today because we could be here all day, but God is not just saying, don't speak death, don't speak death. He's saying, speak life, speak life, speak life. He's not saying, don't curse, don't curse. He's saying, bless. Don't curse, but bless. You see what I'm saying? This is good, good father. He's saying, this works, guys. Everybody else is doing this. No. Less of that, more of this. Right? Less of that, more of this. This is very important. I bless my children. I always bless my children. I call them handsome. I told you before, hi, handsome. Beautiful boy, I say. I used to say beautiful baby boy, and he's like, me not baby. And I had to change it. Whatever, tough guy. Right? And I call Izzy beautiful. But then I don't just bless them like that. I actually speak words of health over them, too. I say, you're healthy in Jesus' name, buddy. You're healthy in Jesus' name. And I told you the story one day. We were riding in the truck, and I hear him talking, so I turn the radio down. He's just babbling. I said, what'd you say, buddy? He goes, me healthy in Jesus' name. And I went, yes, exactly. Those are the words that you grab onto, Alex. That's it. Bless. Life, not death. Y'all know this because what if I said to him, you ready? What if I said, Alex, you're stupid? Well, look at the way you react. Well, then why wouldn't I say, Alex, you are so smart? Why wouldn't I be purposeful? It's not just don't say death. It's take the time to say life. Do you see what I mean? I say it all the time, guys. I say, I'm healthy in Jesus' name. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Is that a good thing to put out there according to God, not some spiritual, but God? Yes, it is. We're going to get through this. You know, we've got a few bumps in the marriage. We're going to get through this in Christ's name. Right? And you're feeling bogged down at work or something like that. God, you said you'll never leave me or forsake me. I use my mouth to say this stuff and bless. Honestly, guys, it's not just no death, bad, bad, bad. It's speak life. I can do this. I can overcome. I'm more than a conqueror. These are God's own words. Talk about power, right? Choose life, not just don't do death. Choose life. So let me tell you, let's go forward a slide, which ironically be our theme slide, I believe. Children or adults, right? When I was a child, I talked like a child. Children curse others when they don't get their way. They speak out of emotion and in the moment. We are adults and we are to speak out of who God is creating us to be. I have a whole talk that says react or respond. Go check it out on the podcast. Reacting is what we all naturally do. Right? Responding is what we're called to. Taking that extra second through who God is making you. I had one of these this week with a family member. Just kind of started to escalate or whatever. And I literally, like, my body language moved to, like, address the issue. And I went like this. And I grabbed the door instead and went inside. And I went. And I actually would pray it. I was like, Father, give me grace. I'm seriously, like, I was mid-react. I was in the react. I almost finished the word react. And I went, respond. We can do this, guys. We have to grow up into Christ Jesus. Responding is out of who God is making us to be. And let me tell you something. It's always a slowed down, Holy Spirit controlled. Reacting is fast, quick, flesh. Responding is a controlled. You notice that? God never seems to be in a real hurry. You know what I'm trying to say? He's in control. That we can be that way as well, as far as speaking like a child. Let's look at some other characteristics of children versus adults so we can learn to come up higher. I'm going to say, I got to be careful here because I don't want to sit there and stereotype the sexes. I don't want to do that today. So I'm going to say this. Little boys and little girls don't know how to communicate how they feel. They are in no way in touch with their emotions and then learn to articulate the complexities of how they're feeling. That's a little boy or a little girl. But a man has learned to express himself verbally. I said this before. You want to know something that's not in the Bible? And nobody ever said to Jesus, what's going on? How do you feel? And he went, oh. Thank you. That's the right reaction. Jesus never said, oh. He was flipping tables and chairs, displaying a righteous anger. And when they said, what's wrong? What's going on? Oh, I don't know. He didn't do that, right? He said, bam, bam, bam. He had learned to dig into his emotional complexities and meet the needs of people around him. That's a man, and that's a woman. Because women struggle with this too now. And if we're predestined to be conformed to the likeness of Christ Jesus, we need to learn to communicate how we feel. Right? We need to learn to communicate how I feel. And this is, I get the idea, and sometimes when I'm sitting with folks and talking with folks, some people just naturally aren't gifted in this area, and I understand that. We're a new creation in Christ. We don't have those limitations we naturally have anymore. I'm just not a good talker. I understand that. But you're created in Christ now, and you're predestined to be conformed to the likeness of Christ. You have the ability now. And likewise, guys, all right, you know what? I feel like you're not with me, so I'm actually just going to fire even faster, okay? Let's see how this goes. Just because you were born and you're not a good communicator, right? That's not wrong. It's not wrong to not be a good communicator. It's how you were born. God doesn't make any mistakes. It's not wrong for you to be that way, but let me tell you something today. It's wrong for you to stay that way. It's not your best life. The people around you need you to communicate how you feel. My wife needs to know I love her. We've been married almost 10 years. We had two kids. Is it right for me as a husband to sit there and make her wonder? Because I say nothing? I'm just going to keep going harder and harder, guys. I could get a head nod here and there so I know, right? Does he still love me the way he used to? Do I leave her out there to guess? Is that a man or is that a boy? What do you think? Or do you think maybe I learn to dig out how I feel and meet her needs? Do you think that's more like Christ? We do. Okay, so we've got one or two folks that are with me on this one. If you're not naturally a communicator, there's nothing wrong with you. That's fine. You're wonderfully and fearfully made. but you can learn to come up higher and meet the needs of people around you, okay? Not wrong, but you don't have to stay that way. Sometimes, guys, we have to make ourselves meet other people's needs if we want to grow up in Christ. Your wife, girlfriend, boyfriend, husband, whatever, they need compliments, they need expressions of love, not when we think of it, not when we get around to it, but often, okay? This is the truth. Little boys and little girls are too concerned with what they're doing and distracted and achieving to meet the needs of people around them, and that's not growing up in Christ. I feel like everybody in here right now is going, I could come up higher in this. Absolutely! We're continuously being conformed till the day He calls you home. And if you're here and you've got a pulse, we've got work to do. But the good news is, when God says to do something, He never commands us to do something without giving us the ability to do it. Can we get some amens there? Let's get excited. Let's get excited. But sometimes, guys, especially in marriage and relationships, we have to be purposeful. Did you post that thing? Somebody posted a thing. I'm going to just share this off the cuff. A marriage was in real trouble. Real trouble. And the guy, this was a decade ago, and the guy said he was just kind of talking with God. And he's like, all right, I'm kind of the problem. It's got to start with me, he says. It's kind of like Michael Jackson says, I'm starting with the man in the mirror, right? It's got to start with me. That was a beautiful song, by the way. And so one day he woke up and rolled over, looked at her and said, how can I make your day better today? And she went, what do you mean? They'd been fighting for, you know. He's like, how can I make your day better? Why? What are you getting at? She's just like, what can I do? She goes, clean the kitchen. Okay. Gets up and goes and cleans the kitchen. Next day, rolls over. How can I make your day better? Why do you keep asking me that? Angry. They were not getting along. Go clean the garage. Go clean the garage, she says. So for 2 hours, he cleaned the garage. But he kept doing this. And after about a week, she looked at him and she, like, just, why do you keep asking me that? He's like, just what can I? And she just breaks and goes, I'm the problem, not you. You shouldn't be asking me this. It's me. And they both cried and the whole nine. He goes, you may have work to do, but right now I got to fix the problem I'm bringing. So what can I do to make your day better? That's being purposeful in life. That's growing up. He didn't want to clean the garage. No one does. If you do, there's something wrong with you. Right? But being purposeful in this life. Children are not purposeful. My Izzy, a year and a half, turns around the other day, and she's a good walker. She's not like Alex. She turns around, starts walking, and walks into the corner of the wall. Like, what were you doing? Oh, I was distracted with something else. Must have been. Wasn't paying attention to where I was going. Paying attention to where we're going in our marriages and our relationship. That's growing up. Just floating along and thinking it's all going to be okay. That's a child. And that's what I'm talking about today. At the beginning, I told you some people don't know a better way. Guess what? We've just covered a ton of them. And now you can be responsible for them. And they're not coming from me. Why do you think we're so Bible heavy today? What do I know? Do you think I can hold a marriage together in my own strength? Be the dad I want to be? No. But I want to learn this. I want to pass. Stephanie says, let our ceilings be our children's floors, right? Isn't that awesome?
Yes.
Well, I got to model that, man. I got to model that. The tone of my voice. Do I yell? Do I scream at my kids? Or do they come from a place where dad learned to conquer that, so now I can come even higher? But it's work, man. What in life works out when you're not purposeful? Money ever just find you? Relationships ever just grow when you don't put in the time? No. It's called the law of entropy. Did your garage clean itself? I've tried. Come on. Doesn't work, right? So we're being purposeful. Okay, so here's another one, guys. Boys shut down, boys or girls, shut down or yell when challenged or overwhelmed. And a lot of us can say that this was the example that we had set before us. And we're not here to dishonor our parents, okay? But we have to acknowledge this. And I've learned something else too, guys. I don't care if you're 80, if you're 15, I believe it's important, because all through the Bible, God talks about generations and genealogy, and I believe it's important to acknowledge the behavior of the people before us, the goods and the bads. Here's what I mean. When my father passed away, the grief counselor said, don't make him a saint. See him for who he really was. And I'll take that a step further. I'll take the baton from her. Love my father for the goods and the bads. Don't just put blinders up for the bads. That's not real love, by the way. That's not what Jesus does to you. Jesus says the goods, the bads, love you. I'm a good, good father. If I ignored the faults of someone who'd come before me, guess what? I won't see them in myself. Anybody getting this? If I say, Dad, shut down when things got too much around the house. If I don't acknowledge that, I won't notice when I start doing it to Alex. And how's he gonna get up here? How's he gonna get up even higher when I give him the same environment I grew up in? I gotta come up higher. So I recognize it in my father, and when I start to do it, I make a choice. Again, not good or bad, just a choice, right? No judgment here. Dad wasn't bad, AJ's not good, and vice versa. But can I make a different choice than that? That's what I'm talking about today. Like I said, he shut down, right? Other folks, when overwhelmed, react by yelling. And I said react because we talked about that before. And this is a really real and honest problem for some people. So I'm not going to sit up here and beat anybody up or even the behavior. I'm just going to say this. Yelling causes fear from the other person. That's what it does. Yelling invokes a fear response. I'm just giving you science, just giving you counseling. Fear paralyzes. And fear can actually keep a person from becoming all that they're supposed to become. Yelling causes fear. Fear paralyzes, and paralysis can keep us from growing. Do we understand that? Now I'm going to say something pretty harsh. Yelling can actually be used as a trump card for the weak, because it's easy to yell. Hard to sit and discuss and maintain your self-composure. Easy to just yell. Sorry, guys. Did I use anybody's names? No. Do I have anybody in mind? No. I'm telling you the truth. A lot of us just, that's our natural response. And I'm telling you today, your life, your choice, but there is another way. We've been given the fruit of the Spirit. What's the fruit of the Spirit? He details it. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. We can choose life, or we can continue to do what maybe Dad did. And it's totally up to you guys. As hard as this message might sound, I wish somebody gave it to me when I was 16 or 17 years old. Even if I just walked home and said, I have a choice. I don't just have to go down the path that was before me. I can choose. It's going to take work. This isn't a miracle cure. We're not going to line up and preacher's going to touch you and you're good. You're going to have to work this the rest of your life. But understand that yelling, it's a shortcut. The real work and the real intimacy can be maintained when we have self-control and composure. And we have this, guys. If I yell around my house, which it's definitely harder. I have a lot more empathy than when I first wrote this message a couple years ago, a version of this. I only had the one kid, so it was a lot easier to not raise your voice. But when one's screaming and one's asking the same question 12 times, right? And then the bacon's starting to burn, and you know what I mean? Like, so please don't think I'm judging anybody here. I totally understand. Because if I were to just go, stop, they would stop. But do I want to do that? You know? This is what my kids would do, right? And what did I just teach him? You can get what you want if you yell. It's hard. I'm not saying I'm perfect with this, man. Especially when Izzy's screaming and Alex wants something. Seriously, Alex. That doesn't sound too harsh, but you know, hey, Alex, if you later in life you want to get what you want, just yell. That's what I just taught him. That's the truth. And guys, this is so hard. Nobody does this perfectly. I'll come sit down with you guys. This is hard, but I know now. God has given me the wisdom through the Word. I know now that there's a different choice. Now I guess day after day after day I have to do this. And likewise, guys, maybe, this isn't part of the message, but maybe if we can look at it as this. Life is a series of choices. If somebody in your life and in your past, if this is kind of getting you to the fact that, you know, you had to work through a lot of stuff, it helps if you look at it as this. The person kept making a specific choice, and maybe they didn't have any ability otherwise. In other words, if this is bringing up painful memories of a yelling dad or something like that, one way you can let them out of prison is to understand that it was just choice after choice after choice. It's not who they were. Do you understand what I'm saying? When God looks at you, and I mean strip away the flesh and sees you, because apparently, listen to this, I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you, right? What does that mean? It means you existed before you were born. So where were you? I was thinking about this last night when I couldn't sleep till 2 a.m. If God just told us that everybody in this room existed before they were even, you know, cellular divisions in the womb, Marty, are you getting what I'm saying? You apparently were somewhere, and he says, I knew you before that. So when God sees you, does he see that accidental DWI you got when you were 20? Does God see the fact that you never broke through yelling at your kids? No, he sees you. And if you've got someone in your life that you're like, this is just bringing up painful unforgiveness sort of stuff, Father, give me your eyes to see them. Not just the addiction they took on. Not just the bad choices they kept making, or choices. Help me to see them the way you see them. And glory to God, we're all going to rejoice in heaven when he sees us that way, right? So again, I can feel that this message really kind of grinded into the dirt, but the fact of the matter is, guys, we're just talking about a series of choices. And tomorrow, here's the cool part. Tomorrow I can make a different choice and get a different result. The beauty of it all is, he makes everything new, says Christ. I've seen marriages be restored in a day. I have. I've seen, oh my God, I could tell you so many stories, of especially that. Not just marriages, parent and child. Just one thing, Holy Spirit comes through, restored. I've seen people forgiving ex-spouses and be delivered just like that. Every day is another day to turn it all around in Christ. Just because you know this. Yes, you have got to get this. If you leave here today and realize, Father, you said I have self-control, show me how to not react by yelling. Just that one thing this week. It could be a whole new chapter in your life. This is not you going out and trying it in your best effort. It's either God is God or he's not. Either he's strong enough and powerful enough and worthy of those songs we sing, or he's not. And I'm not scared to say that, guys, because I need a God who's strong enough to hold my marriage together and change me. I need that. And if he's not great, then why would we worship him? Is he greater or is he not? How great is our God? Is he great enough to make it so that I don't react this way and break the pattern set before me through all everybody running down my family? I sure hope so. I sure hope so. And you know what? He is. Let's speed this up a little bit. Nagging, screaming, or pestering, guys, is something a child does. I want to ride the truck. I want to ride the truck. I want to ride the truck. I want to ride the truck was the soundtrack of my weekend, because we got one of those power Jeep things, you know, and like it's a little car for the kids. I want to ride that. You want to ride that. You want to ride that. Or can we go swing? Can we go swing? I didn't curse you, Bill, but I was close. Bill helped build it and gave it to us. But can we go swing? 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 Do the dishes. Do the dishes. Do the dishes. Do the dishes. Oh, man, I'm sorry. The record skipped a little bit. Why can't you? Why can't you? Why can't you? Why can't you? Why don't you? Why don't you? Why don't you? Can we go swing? Can we go swing? I don't even need to elaborate. I think I just did. I'll wrap it up like this. Pestering someone, nagging, or whining like that, guys, that's you trying to change someone in your power. I suggest you use that time to say, Father, can you help him become the man he is predestined to be? Father, can you help her? Huh. Life or death, life or death, life or death, life or death. You nagging is you trying to change. I promise you, Holy Spirit does a way better job. In fact, I'm going to say this. You can't change anybody. I'm going to say, Holy Spirit, when he gets involved, nobody can remain unchanged. Oh, that's a good spot for an amen, right? Father, just help him to come up higher. Not in the ways I'm saying. I'm not going to pray, Lord, help him to do the dishes, do the dishes, do the dishes. I'm not saying you do that. I'm just saying, Father, give him your heart. Help him to grow. Help him to become. I mean, we all should be praying for our spouses and our children anyway. But God's power or my nagging? One last thing. Okay, here we go. I'll do one last one. Yeah, I skipped three pages, guys. You're lucky. I should have made this a series. This is 6 years of counseling, too. Counseling and Bible study. And Proverbs is a great resource for this sort of stuff. It literally is like a counseling book. Okay, so one last thing I want to talk about. You sit here and you see this guy up here, and you can see I'm not one that has to worry. I always know how I feel about things. This is not my struggle to worry about that. And it's not my struggle to bottle things up inside. I don't do that. I tend to not be a stuffer. I tend to be a spewer, okay? And they come with their own temptations and trouble, right? But stuffing things down is, hi guys. Stuffing things down is just, we overlook it because it's not such, it's not so bombastic. But let me show you little things about this. Let's look at the Ephesians slide if we can. I may have skipped one, so if we can get to Ephesians, which would be, Okay. Yes, that's the one. Speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up. Almost like I planned it. Growing from a child to a man. Speaking the truth in love, we will grow in all things, we will grow up into he. So when we talk about being conformed to Christ's likeness, here's another little rabbit trail, right? Another little crumb to get us there from a different book. Speaking the truth in love. When you hold a grudge, swallow down a grievance, or just bottle things up, we're walking territory that's just as forbidden by God as if you were to wound somebody with the words. And nobody's teaching this for some reason. I'm not coming at anybody. But, you know, be careful, little mouth, what you say. Where's the song about speak the truth in love? I know it's late and you want to go to bed, but you should probably tell your wife that she made you angry so you're not holding a grudge tomorrow. Maybe because that's not a real catchy song. Is that what it is? Or your coworker let you down, but instead you're just going to hate them for the next 2 weeks. That's not a good idea. Right? Seriously. The Bible has a very, very, this is not even a, Jesus has a very concrete, very rarely gives us concrete things, very concrete conflict resolution model. And he says, if someone wounds you or offends you, go to them and tell them. I'm going to touch on this after. Don't let the sun go down in your anger is another one. Don't sit there and bottle things up. Medical science says in the Northeast, we have a 6-year less life expectancy from stress and from that sort of stuff, bottling things up. So what he's saying is speak the truth in love. I'm going to even say this. When I don't give my wife, my brother, my mom, whomever, when I don't speak the truth in love and say, hey, you know, that hurt me, that bothered me, whatever it is, if I don't speak the truth in love, I'm actually limiting how high the relationship can go. Because here's what I mean. If I don't give someone the opportunity to come up higher, we're never going to grow. So let's rewind that. Hey, babe, why'd you come in so hot when I talked about, that's how I talk. Why were you so angry when I said this and this about your parents, right? This isn't real. About your parents, right? And if she says, well, that blah, 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 blah. When we resolve it, what did we just do? We added another victory. We just stretched a little bit in the uncomfort. We established that we're still a safe place. A lot of life. But if I rewind, didn't say it, she doesn't have the opportunity to rise up and meet my needs. Therefore, we can't grow. Is that good, Gordo? Because we're so tempted sometimes. And it's like a self-righteous feeling too. Like, I'll just rise. I just won't say anything. And God is saying, that's not you being strong for them. That's you not wanting to deal with the conflict. Let's be honest. Well, I don't want to bother them with it. If they knew you were hurting and didn't give them the opportunity to help you, that would bother them. Like sometimes my wife, you know, if she does this, I come to find out I hurt her and I'm like, babe, give me the opportunity to help. You know what I'm trying to say? Like, oh my God, I don't want you hurting on your own. You didn't help me by bottling this up. You sure didn't help us. And God is saying, speak the truth in love. Speak the truth. Do it gently. Some people I know in leadership circles say this. Be clear. But be kind. Be clear, but be kind. If you're clear and you're kind, your conscience is pretty much going to be clear. Be clear. But speak the truth. Bottling up grievances is not. God is saying, not. Don't do this. Don't do this. Okay, let's do the next one. 4:26. Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry. God is even saying, you know what? You've got a small amount of time, a small window, right? Ephesians 4:26? Or no? Actually, maybe it's Proverbs. I don't know. But anyway, he says, don't let the sun go down on your anger. In other words, you've got a small amount of time to actually, in your anger, do not let the sun go down while you're still angry. What they're basically saying is you dump it out. Dump it out. Dump it out. That's what he's saying. Some people take this really literally and think that, you know, well, sunset's about 9:30 this time of year, so I can hold it for a couple more hours. Like, I think what he's actually saying is just speak the truth in love. Keep this guy empty. Keep this guy empty. One more thing. Sorry. I just keep getting more stuff. If I've got this full of a grievance toward mom, what happens when God or even a good, what happens when good stuff tries to pour into a full bottle? It just spills right out, doesn't it? Well, if God is trying to give me his heart toward mom, because I have prayed that in the past, if he's trying to give me his heart toward mom, or even just make me more loving, but this bottle's full of a grievance, I don't get it, I don't retain it. It just spills out, because it's full of grievance. So he's saying, pour it out. Here's a real practical thing. You're grieved that day, it works for forgiveness, but it also works for this. Speak the truth in love. Speak it out. Okay. I see some commotion with the kids, and I'm the only guy going that way. So, with Christ and His Holy Spirit, He can't help. We can and should get to this place. So I'm going to leave it for now. I'm going to put that down. I could talk about how not speaking the truth in love is like when you don't clean out a wound and it becomes infected. I'm not going to get on that, okay? I think I've given us enough today for us to realize I didn't give you a lot of A to B's. Instead, I think what we need to do this week, having heard this, is just simply say, Father, some things I obviously heard in that message and know I could come up higher, but I think this week just we need to go to the Father and ask. I want to go beyond. I want to come up higher. I want to be more like you. I want to meet people's needs. Sometimes I don't think of the things to say. I don't remember to say the compliments. Can you help me to just to do that? Like, love her through me. Love him through me. Or, Father, I'm a firecracker, man, and I don't want to be. And you said you've given me self-control. Can you help me with that? That's it, guys. Your walk with God is your own. Nobody in this room is watching or calculating or judging, but it's your head going on your pillow tonight, and your family, and the future generations behind you. I say we bring it to God. Do we have never once at the end? We do. You want to play never once? I think it's important to sing a song like Never Once Have We Ever Walked Alone. Because this week, when we go to God with these real tender things, especially our failings, it's really nice to know that this next week of restoration, God's going to be right with us. This is not self-help, guys. This is walking with Jesus.